Hey, greetings everybody. It's Brother Tupos from NoParish.com, John 424 Radio. Let's get right to a real meat and potatoes audio teaching today. The armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. Yeah, I'm sure you all know it well, saints and seekers, if you're listening. I thought it'd be good to cover the armor of God verses. It builds us up in the faith, teaches us how we can stand tests of time and trials and mostly the enemy and spiritual battles. Let's get right at it. And this is aimed for blood-bought saints, seekers, you can listen in. Born from above by the gospel. Check out that gospel at don'tperish.com. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, his perfect work for us, repentance to be made new. Be born from above by the Spirit of God in holiness and obedience and endure in the faith. That's a gospel that will bring you the path to eternal life. That's who I'm aiming at here. And how do you walk in the armor of God? Well, let's get to it. Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. We're going to take them one by one. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All right, I like this. We're called to be strong in the Lord and walk in the power of his might. What's the power of God's might? Well, that would be the Spirit of God, right? The Word of God. I frankly get really tired of people who think being strong in the Word and walking in boldness is prideful and arrogant. We hear this all the time. You're mean, you're prideful, you're arrogant, you're not meek, you're not quiet. The Bible tells us to be strong and in the power of his might. I like that. We're called to do it. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All right, so this armor of God, he's given us the main opponent is Satan, the devil, right? This is a spiritual battle. Yeah, we wrestle our flesh, but our flesh isn't spiritual, and he just is going to tell us who we're going to stand up against. He's instructing us to put on the armor of God to go against God's enemy. Is a soldier ready for battle if they don't have on their armor? No, they're not. And keep in mind, this is not a suggestion. These are commandments from the Holy Scriptures. These are commandments. Armor. Panoplia. Panoplia. It means full armor. So like when you put on armor, it's not one piece. It's not two piece. It's not half done. Armor is a full set of armor. Amen? Verse 12. Paul tells us who our battles with. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right. So we're reminded that our main battle is not so much against men, although we will have battles against men, no doubt about it, but it's against Satan and his minions and his principalities. You can't fight these spiritual battles with physical weapons, can you? No, you can't. Romans 8 tells us we have to walk in the Spirit. Otherwise, we're going to be condemned already, right? So that's very important. Notice what it says there, too. It also says the rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Remember that. And that's who we are standing against and opposing as we walk through this world. So consider that. You're going up against an enemy that is a spiritually powerful entity with minions of angels. You better get in the spirit and you better get these armors on. Pieces of armors. We better have these on. Amen? Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. There's that. Right? Remember I told you that word means the full armor. Now he says the whole armor. Not bits and pieces and parts of it. All of it. Right? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. I like that. I like this verse a lot. Armor helps us to withstand. anthistami. Anthistami. It means to set oneself against, to oppose. It's like an offense. It's a type of stance. It's not a fleeing or backing away, not a defensive, but a stance. And it says, so when we withstand, then we stand. Histami, to make a stand. I like that. So we're to stand, withstand, excuse me, we're to withstand, and then when you've done everything you can, then you stand. This is what Paul is telling us to do. Standing in God's word, standing in the spirit with this armor on. The Bible says if we resist the devil, he'll flee. That's what this is all about. We're to take a stand in the things of God. We're going through these one by one. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Oh, we're getting to truth. Anybody who knows me knows I love the truth. So we're here, he's talking about loins girded with truth. What is loins girded? You look that Greek word up, it means to like fasten a belt around your waist. And have you ever thought about this? Like when people fake you out, they can fake you out with their feet, they can fake you out with their head, but wherever your waist goes, where your belt goes, that's where your body's going. Have you ever thought about that? So it's like the center core of who you are, it's your balance. And so we're to have the truth strapped on at the center of our core. That word truth, aletheia, it means just what it says, that which is true. So we're to have the truth of God strapped onto the center of our being. It helps us balance, right? Absolutely it does. Without the truth, you're out of balance. Jesus said this, John 14:17, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye knoweth him. Ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I love that. So the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Hardly anybody quotes that and says he's the spirit of truth. People go, he's the Holy Spirit. And then they downplay holiness too. Yeah, he's the Holy Spirit and he's the spirit of truth. That which is true. That's everything that God's word gives us that's contextually for today. We're to walk in the truth and we're to gird it around our loins like a belt buckle and buckle up with the truth around you. I love that. I like that a lot. Next one, having on the breastplate of righteousness. All right, a breastplate of righteousness. This acts as like a barrier for your upper body, right? So the breastplate, your vital organs are up there, right? Kind of putting a physical slant to it. And the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness, what does that mean? Well, it's a condition to be acceptable to God. I always like to tell people, righteousness means that which is right before God. So if you're right before God, you're in a condition that's acceptable to God. That's what Christ makes us because of his perfect sacrifice. And then our response to the gospel as well. He is our perfect righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we may be made the righteousness of God. We have no hope without Christ's perfect righteousness, but then we too must walk and act and live our faith out. A saving faith always has fruit of righteousness, holiness, and obedience, and we live it out. If you don't believe that, go read Matthew 25:33-46, where Jesus comes and separates the sheep that do righteous works from the goats that don't do righteous works. Very interesting. So the breastplate of righteousness, very, very important. We put on Christ via the gospel I preached to you earlier, then we live a righteous life, and that acts as our breastplate, protects the upper part of our body in battle. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All right, so feet shod. Shod means to put on, like they shod a horse's feet. They put shoes on a horse, metal horseshoes. Shod means to put on. Preparation means just that, to be prepared. Gospel means good news. We know what the good news of the gospel is. And peace, it means, ready? It's not so much talking about like getting along with everyone. Here in the context, it means a quietness and a rest. So if you have the gospel, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about it all over its pages. I did a teaching on it. You have the joy of the Holy Spirit. Chara is the word in the Greek. It means inner calm and cheer, not jumping around, not yelling, not getting fleshly and emotional, not running, screaming, dancing, inner calm and cheerfulness. That's what he's talking about here. The gospel of peace, it brings peace to you. No matter your surrounding, no matter your situation, no matter what's coming, no matter if you're facing spiritual evil, you got peace. You got inner calm. You got rest. You got quietness in you. You know why? Because you know that you're getting behind God's word and God's spirit, and Christ is there. And he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? Amen. I love that. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All right. So what soldier is ready for battle without a shield, right? And the verse that I would tell you about this, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he that is a rewarder, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, so that faith, you can't please God without faith. Faith is hope for what's unseen, right? We believe God. Jesus told Thomas, when Thomas said, I won't believe till I see him. And then he felt Jesus' wounds and he believed. And I loved when Jesus said, you've seen and believed. Blessed are those who have never seen, but will yet believe. He was talking about us saints. Yeah, we've never seen the risen Christ in person, and we still believe. I love that. We're blessed because of it. So faith, you got to have it to please God. And it's tied with a shield here. Think about this. Look at a shield. What does it do? Most shields are like on your arm. And what does a shield do? Unlike the truth, or unlike the breastplate that are set in place and really not very movable, the shield is movable. It's active. It's ready to be used in various places to ward off a blow, an arrow, a sword, a spear. Yeah, kind of reminds me of a saving faith, right? It's active. Is it not ready to move where you need it to deflect any enemy, any situation? Yeah, think about that, that shield. You know, think of people throwing things at you from multiple directions, and you can use that shield and turn it from all different directions. I think that's a good example. And then it says, quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Quench. What does that mean? Pretty simple. Extinguish. I like that. He's throwing fiery darts at us, and by faith, we extinguish the works of the devil. I love that. Faith helps us put out the enemy's plan against us. It's not going to stand. Not one bit. It will not stand. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. All right, helmet of salvation, soterion. That means hope of being saved. The helmet, what does the helmet do? It circles your entire head for protection. Think about that. So the helmet circles your entire head for protection. Who is our salvation? Christ, Yeshua, means salvation. Isn't that awesome? I love that. His root word of his name means salvation. He is our salvation. And you know what? 1 Corinthians 11 tells us Christ is our head. Right? Christ is the head of the body of Christ, right? So he's your head if you're a Christian. So the helmet of salvation, the hope of being saved in Christ, circles your head, looking to Christ for your salvation. Very important part of your armor. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Paul says. I got one verse for you that sums this up. Hebrews 4:12, it's one of my favorites. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing asunder the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I love that verse. I use it all the time. Question, would you be very effective in a spiritual battle if you have a sword but you don't know how to use it? This is a spiritual battle, so the sword is the word of the Lord. If you don't know how to use it, when I'm in the streets and I meet people that are pastors or people that are teachers or people that are claiming to be Christians for a long time and they try to contend, I always almost feel bad for them because it's like they bring a butter knife against a person that has a 3-foot sword. When you know the word of God, you can vanquish all lies, all heresy, all deceit of the enemy and false teachers. They don't have the word, and they bring this little tiny butter knife, and I almost feel bad for them. And hopefully when the word of God shows them what they lack, they'll repent and study to be approved. Yeah, so the word of the Lord is the sword of the Spirit. I like that. Study up. Make sure you know how to use the word of the Lord. And all that means is use it rightly, rightly divided, cut it straight, 2 Timothy 2. Cut it straight, preach it straight, use it to refute. Paul says, convince the naysayers. If it's possible, that means show them their fault and call them to the truth. That's all those things that we use. Look at when Satan came against Jesus, go read about it in John, he used the word of God to refute him. Yeah, the word of the Lord, the sword of the Lord. I like that. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All right, pretty basic there, praying, right? Supplication, desis, it means seeking, asking, entreating, entreaty to God or to man. In this case, it's talking about to God. He's talking about praying in supplication of the Spirit and for the saints also. So we're to pray for each other, right? So once, get this picture here. Once we have that armor all in place, Paul tells us now to pray unceasingly, and that helps us bring all of those pieces of armor together. And it aids us, and it'll aid other saints as well if we pray for them. And so, as I finish out here, I'd have a question for you. Ask yourself, can you really do battle unless you have the full armor of God on? Are you ready for battle? You could try to do battle, but are you really ready to do battle unless you have this on? And when should it be on? Once in a while, occasionally, hardly ever, or all the time? Think about that. Think about that. When a police officer is on duty, he's ready all the time. Are Christians ever off duty? I suppose when you're sleeping or you're at home and doing some personal things. But most of the time, you're on duty as a saint of God. Be ready. Absolutely be ready. And this armor is there to protect us. Remember, ready? Goliath. Remember Goliath. He was a large man, a warrior, all armored up probably, but he had a vulnerable spot. Yeah, David found it right between his eyes, got him in the forehead. He probably had a big helmet on, all this stuff. Yeah, David's rock found it with the help of the Lord. You can know for sure that Satan, our enemy, will find our weak spot. Armor we don't have on, armor we left off. And unless we put on that armor, unless we stand behind it and stand, do everything we can to withstand, then stand, we're going to fall. Yeah, we're going to fall. We're not going to be ready. We're going to be wounded. We're going to fall. We're not going to serve the Lord rightly. We're not obeying him if we don't do that. How can we serve the one who has called us unless we put on this armor? All of this talk of armor reminds me of another one of my favorite verses in Ephesians 5:9. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, truth, and righteousness. That goodness word means just be of the things of God. And that reminds me of all this. And then truth and righteousness, they're right in the armor. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You don't hear people talk about the fruit of the Spirit as goodness, truth, and righteousness very much. Everybody says love, long-suffering, patience. Those are good. Those are awesome from the book of Galatians. But those are actually doled out to God's people. We don't give love and patience and long-suffering to sin or false teachers or people that are mockers. So those are aimed at God's people. Keep that in context. And then Paul goes on, finish up here. Verse 19, and for me that the utterance be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Yeah, Paul was preaching to people that didn't know. He brought it all together, what Christ had done. And Paul says he preached, wanted to preach boldly. Yeah, like I said earlier in this teaching, today if you preach the word of God boldly, they call you mean, prideful, self-righteous, but it's not. we're told, it says in the Old Testament that the righteous are bold as a lion. Yeah, I like that. Jesus was a bold man of God. John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived, was a bold man of God. Paul, called to go to the Gentiles, was a bold man of God. Peter was a bold man of God. The prophets were bold men of God. Yeah, think about that. In your own way, be bold. Everyone has a different personality and a different calling, but in your own way, you be bold. Last verse for you. 2 Timothy 2:4. I had to share this one. It goes right along here. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Yeah, I love that verse. What kind of soldier are you and I going to be if we get entangled in the affairs of the world? Politics, sports, entertainment, churchianity, hobbies, careers. And then we don't put on the full armor and we don't walk in it. What kind of soldiers are we going to be? Successful soldiers? God-glorifying soldiers? Are we going to be failures? Are we going to be unprofitable servants? Yeah, something to consider. I want you to be a bold soldier, servant of the Lord. That's what I want to be too. So I'm here to help you. That's why I pour out of the website. That's why I street preach every day. That's why we go to events. That's why I retired early to travel. I don't have much time left in this life. What else is worth doing than proclaiming the truth of God, preaching the gospel to the lost, calling those people in false doctrine out, calling them to repent and rebuking them, teaching and making disciples, preaching the gospel? What else is there to do? Nothing else I want to do that's worthy. I want to focus and set my eyes on eternity. I hope that's your goal too. If you're set on eternity, you've got to get the armor of God on. Let me know, I can help you in it, okay? Love you all. Thanks for listening. Got to get down the gospel road. Go out and have a glorious day. Till next time, the Lord lets me come with truth. Repent, obey the gospel. May God be praised.